Drive with Julian Clover.
Getting you home.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
My guests today come from the Wax House, which is an emerging theatre company producing this year's Oxford University Dramatic Society National Tour. Their touring show, Doomsday, comes to the Cambridge Junction tonight. And we welcome Alex and we welcome Maya to the studio.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome both. Now, Alex, you're responsible for set design, but yep. I discover when we're having a bit of a chit-chat beforehand, you're also responsible for a very different design skill in terms of web and online and posters
graphic
and things.
Graphic design and the publicity as well.
We'll explore that in a moment. And Maya is responsible for accessibility and outreach.
Yes. Would you like me to
I definitely know. I definitely need that explaining to you. Sorry, I'm a bear with very little brain.
No. So it's kind of not necessarily a role that a lot of shows have, but basically I'm organising things called relaxed performances, which are performances where the house lights are up and where the audience can make noise and move around, and these are intended to be accessible to people on the autistic spectrum, people with sensory difficulties, amongst other things. So that's one part of what I do. And I also am sort of arranging workshops and things. So that's the outreach, where I'm trying to reach out to local communities around the venues where we're performing. And the other thing is that our venues here in Cambridge and in Edinburgh are level access, so accessible to people in wheelchairs as well. So
okay, that kind of makes sense. And on at the Cambridge Junction tonight, we'll talk about the production itself in a moment, but yesterday in the UK's fourth driest city, you're out and about in the rain, and I guess this is kind of all part of it, really. And as you're taking the production to Edinburgh, you kind of have to practice for basically getting people to turn up.
Definitely. It was my first experience of flyering, so I had a fairly good response considering it was raining.
So what's the technique? Do you just sort of say, you know, great play, take this, have a look, or
you kind of yell random words like Cambridge Junction, 8 p.m. Doomsday to try and get people interested, and then you make eye contact with people and try and start conversations with them.
I don't know if having a production called Doomsday and saying it's at 8 o'clock is necessarily the best strategy.
It was a slight difficulty. Also, the words new theatre tended to make people slightly less suspicious of us. So, yeah.
I guess with the Junction, people know that there's going to be a wide variety of performances from all different types of theatre, from the more traditional through to the exploratory. And Alex, designing the set and doing graphic design, I obviously you need an artist's eye for these things, but that does strike me as two very different skills.
The play's got a kind of very distinctive visual look, where the set is, it's not a kind of traditional set with big flat areas behind and chairs and candlesticks and hat stands has always seemed to be part of the set dressing of shows.
I've got one of those in my house. I don't need to see it when I go to the theatre.
The set is based around these survival barrels,
we should explain that the Doomsday thing comes. It's set 30 years ago, or how would you describe the set? Is it New Jersey in the US?
Yeah, well, it's telling the story of it's doing two things. It's exploring why doomsday preppers exist, why people choose to prepare for the worst if it happens. But also it explores a true story that our director and producer, Alex and Laura, found out about last year, about a man called Joseph Bedame, who he's an incredible man. He was a doomsday prepper. And dedicated his life with his wife to a variety of great projects, but also preparing for the worst and helping as many people in it as possible.
We had a tour the other day, the county council offices here on Castle Hill, and they've got a nuclear bunker. And just in case, things go horribly wrong, the good news is that the local councillors will survive. So I dare say this guy would have been in there as well, trying to organise things for them.
Mm. And he was an architect, so building bunkers became his specialty. And so there were all these... Well, in the end, his wife very sadly died, and he was, having spent so much on preparing for Doomsday, he couldn't afford to keep his house, and he had to give it all up. And then instead of selling all his belongings, he donated the food supplies to victims of Hurricane Maria.
Oh,
in
really?
Puerto Rico.
So he'd been like stashing, presumably, well, like we have to do for Brexit, really, stashing all these yeah. tins of baked beans and spaghetti hoops and goodness knows what else.
Yeah, he had,
ready and
food for hundreds of people to survive weeks, and so
outstanding.
Yeah, a chance meeting with someone at his foreclosure sale, who had family, who was raising money for her family in a devastated town in Puerto Rico, led him to be the kind of vanguard of the relief effort there.
And this
with
is
his personal supplies.
And this is told through what's called verbatim theatre. So for those not familiar with it, how does it work?
Well, Alex and Laura got in contact with him and have been interviewing him over the past few months, finding out about, you know, all of his story, and also with journalists who covered the story as well, and who can give us more background on the time.
So in a way, it's kind of, it's sort of, I don't know, if it was on TV, it'd be called a drama documentary to a greater or lesser extent.
We were kind of trying to figure out how to put it earlier, and the term docudrama did occur, because there are these elements of verbatim theatre, which is based on these interviews, so using these interviews in the performance, but it's also blended with some sort of fictionalised doomsday prepper characters and other kind of ideas around that.
So you can bring in, whilst there is the element of drama, I guess to a certain extent, if you're watching a docudrama, then you have to embellish things because not everything is known, so things have to be brought in. So it's kind of a variation of that, I suppose.
Plus theatre.
And we kind of love the process as well, the creative process. So some of it's just come out of, you know, workshopping the ideas with the actors, with everyone in the company, and kind of creating these fictional things out of the research we do, but also just imagining ourselves in those situations and, you know, that coming into the writing of the play.
Mm-hmm. And then over what period of time, this is relatively recent, so you're heading, as we mentioned, to Edinburgh next and then to London, and you've had a short spell at another festival event in the past few weeks.
Yes, Buxton at the Rotunda Theatre, which is sort of a big tent-shaped thing, which
right.
was rather different from the Cambridge Junction.
Yeah, so I just about to describe Cambridge Junction as modern, but it's modern insofar as like 30 years modern, but it's more of a sort of a contemporary kind of space.
No, it's. I've been at the tech rehearsal earlier today, and it's been looking amazing. Mm. Just getting all the lighting in, and the junction is such a kind of amazing space, and so bunker-like as well.
It does have its moments. And when you see it, this must be as a designer when you walk into the space, and all of a sudden there's your set. Which was somewhere else previously and is now the same as it was, but presumably the theatre itself will automatically, by its very nature, because the theatre is different, does it change the look of the set at all?
Oh, it changes so much, and to have the lighting as well, that makes it, you know, feel so different. We did most of our rehearsing in a cricket pavilion in Oxford, which had a very different feeling, and you could kind of imagine it, but there's nothing that can prepare you for seeing it there, you know, taking shape in the morning on the stage, and then eventually into the performance in the evening.
And is it difficult, because you're just here for the one night, aren't you? Is it difficult just, you know, rolling up into town, putting the set up, doing the performance, and then off you go again?
Yeah, well, the tech team arrived at the theatre at 10 a.m. and we're going to leave at 10 p.m.
And is it
so
then?
Yeah,
is it then?
Work, but it'll be worth it. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure. And then how long before you pitch up in Edinburgh?
We're leaving on Wednesday, aren't we?
Yes, but the run starts on the 3rd of August.
Right, that's just this Friday, isn't it?
Yes.
Gosh.
So got a little bit of breathing space, but but not a whole ton.
And then how long are you anticipating the run in Edinburgh to be? For the entire duration of the Fringe?
Yeah, 27 performances.
Gosh.
One day off. It's going to be pretty relentless, but
and flyering most days.
I was going to say, because that's the other aspect. You've had the practice on that yesterday afternoon, and with Edinburgh, you've got so much competition, haven't you, from some of the other performances which are going on right the way across the city.
I think it's been really nice, actually, though. I've been in contact with sort of various companies in Edinburgh about their shows from the sort of access point of view, because not that many, but some other companies are also doing accessible venues. About 40% of Edinburgh Fringe venues are accessible, and some are doing relaxed performances. And those companies, they've been really nice and really friendly, and there's a thing called exit flyering where you can go to each other's shows and hand out flyers as people exit one show.
Okay, that's good.
So when you're kind of communicating with companies who have similar interests to you, you can kind of build a bit of a relationship. I don't know that, obviously there's competition, but people want to enjoy other people's theatre as well, I think.
I guess so, because that's my, people I know, friends of mine who's gone up there, both as performers and as, spending a week, couple of weeks just going around from production to production and taking it all in.
Yeah, it's going to be a whirlwind.
could very well be. And how many of you are there as a company altogether?
Oh, we've got six actors and six in the crew as well.
Right, so I guess it's a very, very tight-knit community.
Yeah, it's going to be a packed apartment at Edinburgh as well. But it's been really nice going on tour as well, because I've only been involved in student shows that all run for, three nights in one place, and you're not living together, you're not going away with each other, but just everything comes together kind of for the project and the company just becomes more and more of a unit all the time.
And despite the fact it's an Oxford production, your director actually comes from Cambridge, or from Ely, and went to school in Cambridge, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so she's quite happy to be bringing the show home.
Probably staying with friends and family overnight, or at least maybe bringing some in tonight at the Junction. I was about to say, what time's curtain up? There isn't really a curtain at the Junction, but so what time does it all get underway?
It's 8 o'clock tonight.
Okay, so bit of verbatim theatre. Is it a regular performance tonight, or is this open one as well?
It's a regular one.
Okay. Yeah. Look, best of luck with tonight and the performance of Doomsday, which I notice is two words rather than one, at least in the data which I had. And best of luck as well in Edinburgh later on.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Alex and Maya, thank you very much indeed. It is, we're running late again, 5:46.